the most difficult phase for everyone and for everything, whether it is that whether you're looking for something in your personal life or in your professional life, is that limbo moment when you know you want more, you know you want something, but you're not yet clear on what exactly it is that you want and that you're calling for. So you can't really call for something in your life if you don't know exactly what it is.
You are a driven international professional or manager, have achieved quite a bit already, but are asking yourself from time to time, what do I really want? How do I want to work and live? Then this is your podcast. I am Gina Friedrich, career and life coach for people who want to actively shape their future. Every second Thursday, I release interviews for you with inspiring, successful, as well as renowned international personalities from the world of business, NGO, and sports. They all will share with you what these questions mean to them, how they handled obstacles in their lives, and shaped their journey to where they are today. You are curious and don't want to miss anything? Sign up for this podcast right here. And now, let yourself be inspired on your very personal journey towards the future that you wish for. Hi, thanks for tuning in to episode number 64 with Pascal Valentin. Pascal is a Pilates instructor and personal trainer based in Milan. She's originally from Corsica, where she did her master's degree in mediation culturelle and moved to London, where she successfully studied arts policy and management. She worked at the London Theatre for several years and did a certification as a Pilates instructor on the side. In this interview, Pascal talks about her life-changing moment, which made her realize that she needed a change of scenery in every sense. Because of her Instagram site, she got her dream job offer as a Pilates specialist at the hotel chain Bulgari. She immediately fell for it and jumped right into her new path. Pascal shares her moments of doubt, doubting herself, decisions, her previous path, and explains how she handled these with confidence. Clarity is the most important thing for her when it comes to making decisions, because she is certain that the rest floats in. We talk about her biggest challenge, living abroad in a foreign country again, with the challenge being the Italian language, and why she sees success very objective and defines it as being on the right path. What surprises her the most every day, and which advice she would give her younger self, Pascal talks about in this episode. Please excuse the sometimes occurring sound issues on this episode. And now, here she is, Pascal. Dear Pascal, hello and welcome.
Hello, thanks for having me, Gina.
Yeah, super exciting. Again, speaking to someone whom I did not meet in person yet. But yeah, thanks to Linnea, I have to say, at that point for introducing me to you. So Linnea, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, yes. She's the mediator here.
Yeah. So, and now the listeners have the chance to get to know a bit more about your path and how you actually shaped it in order to get to where you are today. And from our little pre-discussion before we actually officially started that interview, I've heard already a lot, and I'm very excited to share that now with having you sharing that with the listeners. Pascal, I always just love to start the podcast interview with a question that gives the listeners a bit more insights and a different perspective on who the person I'm talking to actually is. So why don't you answer to the question of who is Pascal?
I would say I'm a very independent person. Sometimes too much, I would like to add. It took me a long time to learn, especially in my personal life, that, you know, external input is good and you don't have to do it all on your own. And very, very, I'm a hardworking person. That's what I would say, and quite reflective. And I have big moments of doubt, which I manage sometimes to balance out with those big, that like sort of can-do attitude that I really, really believe in. So yeah, I think that's what I would say in a nutshell.
And maybe just in regards to looking at your path, I mean, you have a background which is like quite diverse, especially in regards to where you were coming from. I mean, looking at like coordination, project management, jobs, like for theaters, for example, and now having committed yourself fully to sports, to Pilates, to a job that is quite different to what you were doing before. And I would like to start actually with a question, if throughout that path that you were going through, Was there a key aha moment actually that led you to where you are today, to this final decision to leave your home country and start all over new?
Yes, that's a great question. Actually, there was. So a few years ago, I lived in London, where I moved to study. I studied there. I did a second master's degree in arts management. And so my dream was to work in the theater world, to work as a project manager, project coordinator, whatever you want to call it. And I was very happy doing that, really, really happy. But if I try to pin it down to this sort of like epiphany, a light bulb moment, I lived in London for almost 8 years. And I have to say, towards the end, I just felt it was so draining. It was just, I think I had like personally sort of like fell out of love with London, and I thought it was just too demanding, too little fulfillment versus too demanding a city as amazing as it is. And I had already started to teach Pilates, actually. So my main job was in project management, as you said before. But I had started, I had taken my Pilates certification, which is something I was always passionate about. I did a lot of ballet and dance in the past. And because of this, let's say my past as a dancer, which I did actually at a semi-professional level when I was like younger, until 20. I found Pilates, so movement found itself back into my life, and I decided to take the certification. But because I had a full-time job, I just started teaching here and there on the weekend, in the evening after work. And then I actually can narrow down this big haha moment, as you mentioned before. I was going home one evening on a very dreary, a bit like rainy, foggy winter evening.
Like in Germany.
Well, it's not that far today in Milan either, actually. It's very gray. Going home, and after a day in the office, plus I had taught in the evening, an evening class after that. It was about 10:30 p.m. And I was in line waiting for the bus to go back home. And I felt so hopeless at some point, because I was just like, this is my life, day in and day out. That's what I do. And I was just like, surely there's more to it. Surely there's more to it. It can't be just one day after the other. It's just the same thing, But I think it came out of a place where I was also, I don't know if it was frustration or just I was a bit done with what I was doing in my main job. And I needed a change of scenery in every sense of the word, really.
But and I can so imagine, I think, just, I'm sorry to interrupt, but just realizing that, getting aware, like really admitting that this is how you feel, is a big thing, right? I can imagine like raising absolutely. That question for the very first time, having
you're
that.
You're so right.
Yeah. So, wow.
Yeah, you're so right, because I think it was a big moment, because I think, that thought had been in my head many times before. But you think that thing and you're like, no, you find an excuse, right? Because it's so hard to confront it. So you find an excuse. You're like, no, it's just because I'm a bit, I'm feeling a bit low today, or it's the weather, or, but actually that time I actually, as you said, I acknowledged that feeling and thought, okay, now I know it, I've got to deal with it. What can I do? What can I do to sort of like shift it?
Yeah, so tell us, what did you do? What was the next step you actually took in order to start thinking about that question maybe from a different angle, and in the end finding what it actually is that was driving you?
So after that, I continued to build up my teaching sort of like base in London, and realized I enjoyed it more and more. And at the same time, my job, my main job was just, it was coming to, I was very stalling, and there was no, in my company, there was no progression possible. The market was saturated at the time. I'm pretty sure it still is today. The arts and cultural sector is always a bit, you know, it is what it is. As amazing as it is what it is. And I was just like, okay, so what can I do? And the other, like the underlying thing and feeling was that I was done with London, which also was like a big realization, because it's one thing to be like, oh, I don't want to live here anymore, but like, okay, where do I go next? You know? And then like, it was not instant. It was not instant, because I believe nothing is, you know, you realize something and then you need to put the work in, or to just give time. It's a process, absolutely. But what happened is that I always had that idea of living in Italy. Was being quite in love with this country, and I thought Milan became quite the obvious choice, because it is the most, let's say, international city in Italy. So I thought, okay, if I go there, I will probably I didn't know what to expect whatsoever, but I thought, okay, maybe there it will be easier in a way, because everybody says it's the most international one, so it would be maybe the better choice. And then I had that on the back of my head, and then was thinking, okay, next year I'll find a way, let me work towards that goal. But it was a very, very distant goal. It was still like a dream.
What was it at that time?
To move to Italy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was the moving.
To leave London.
Mm-hmm. It was the moving rather than like a professional new goal that was bringing
you
there.
Well, it was tied together, really. It was like moving to Italy to be a full-time Pilates instructor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So put a stop, or even like a temporary stop, you know, but to what I was doing as a project manager, and just to do that, which was what made me the happiest at the time, you know.
This was a bold move. I mean, not just changing countries. I mean, and you're from Corsica, from France, moving to another country and then changing, yeah, the focus of your profession again. It's like really like a big change.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm a bit of an all or nothing person. Either I make a big move, or I just stay where I am. I was just like, no in between, no gray area. So yeah, that's what happened. But at the time, it was still a bit of a dream, and I was trying to work towards it, but I didn't exactly know where, even how to do it, because I was quite scared to leave a perfectly good, stable job in London to just move to Italy and try to be a Pilates instructor. So I had no idea. I had no idea, really. But then I have to say something I really believe in. I believe in hard work, and I believe in like luck or fate or destiny, or, you know, the divine sign, however you want to call it. I magically, I think like that's the word, magically got in touch with the Bulgari, you know, the hotel, the hotel chain in London, and the owner of the gym got in touch with me, because he had noticed somehow my Instagram profile that I was using, obviously, for like Pilates related things, and asked me in to have a chat. And so I go in, and basically he's interested in my profile and would like to add me to the team, which I think, oh, that's fantastic. That's great. That's great news. But before going to that meeting, I did my little research about his gym and his journey into doing what he was doing and being the founder of the gym that sits within the Bulgari hotels around the world. And I read somewhere that they were about to open that same model, that gym inside within the Bulgari, in the Bulgari in Milan. So I read this and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But quite instantly, I shut my thought off, thinking, no, come on, that can't, you know, you can't ask for that right away, or you can't even put it on the table. So I've just like sort of shut my little voice inside my head, just went to the meeting. It suggested in London. I was very happy. I had one more gig, you know, a few more hours of work, and thought, you know, that's good enough. But came the end of our chats, he asked me, he's like, do you have any other questions, something you want to ask? And I thought, you know, let me just drop it. Just like that. So I said, oh, I see that. I read that you are starting that new, you are doing the same thing in Milan, you know, doing the same model, like the gym in Milan. He was, and instantly looked at me, he was like, why did you ask me that? And I was just, oh, you know, out of curiosity, was like, why, are you interested? Do you want to go to Milan? And I looked at him and I was just like, oh, you know, why not? And he was like, music to my ears. Because we're having, I swear, it's like music to my ears, because I'm having a hard time finding instructors there. So if you're serious about that, like, let me chat with my associate, with my partner, but like, we can have another chat about that.
I have goosebumps, oh, by the way.
No, but you know what? Like, telling you, I feel like I'm reliving the moment. So I was just like, I went home. Like, I left the hotel, went home, and feeling so happy and feeling, oh my God, something's happening. There's like, something's happening. And the following week, I went back in, had another chat, and he was like, okay, are you serious about moving there? Because we would send you. This was October. This was mid-October. We met first week of October, second week of October. I went back in and he said, okay, are you serious about going to Milan? Because we would send you. When can you go? And I thought, oh, I don't know. He's like, is January okay? And I was just like, yes. I was like, sure. And all of a sudden, I was just like, okay, well, now it's not completely unreasonable moving to Milan, because obviously I didn't want to move without a job, with nothing, and just going there and be like, we're walking the streets, the beautiful streets of Milan, but like with nothing to do, at least no lead, no, you know. But when he said that, it was sort of like my golden ticket. I thought, well, now I have something, and the rest I will build it up, you know. And so the rest is history. that's what I did. In 2 months, I packed up my nearly 8 years of life in London, and you know, resigned from my job, and left my flat, and in January 2017, here I am, and fresh and new, and not speaking Italian
not yet.
Not yet, yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that story. That was really, like, you were really taking us there, and I had so many questions in my head now, but one actually, like, really going back to the moment when you said it was like a magical kind of a coincidence, actually, that you were approached. I'm just asking myself if it really was, or if not, maybe sometimes as soon as we are really like clear inside of us, and we are really, we have a goal, or we have something that is driving us, and we are just on our way, that then we open up in a way that people and things and whatever gets possible, and that it, yeah, that this would not have been possible if you would not have been clear on your end on what the next step, what the next move actually should be. That's just a question in my head. I'm just handing it over to you. Do you really think it was a magical coincidence, or was it just happening and possible because you actually were ready and able and actually did a lot internally to make that come into your life?
No, do you know what? Actually, I'm really happy you said that, and you said exactly that word, clarity, because I really, really, really believe in that. I think the most difficult phase for everyone and for everything, whether it is whether you're looking for something in your personal life or in your professional life, is that limbo moment when you know you want more, you know you want something, but you're not yet clear on what exactly it is that you want and that you're calling for. So you can't really call for something in your life if you don't know exactly what it is, you know. So that's always what I what I tell, you know, well, people, if they ask, I don't know, for my humble advice, or, but it's just clarity. It's like, and that takes a lot of inner work, as you said, a lot of hard work, and a lot, it took that as well for me, a lot of like sitting down at my desk and writing, you know, like having my note, taking my notebook out and being like, okay, what do I want? What is it that I want? What am I passionate about? What makes me, it sounds a bit corny to say what makes me happy, but what makes me, I don't know, fulfilled and have that sense of like achievement, again, whether it is professional or personal. But I feel like, as you said, as soon as you have that clarity, yeah, maybe it doesn't have anything to do with magic, but you have that clarity, you put it out there by your hard work, by your attitude, by everything. And then, you know, the rest flows in.
Yeah. So thank you very much for reconfirming, because that's from what you've shared and also in general, how I look at it. Yeah. But as soon as you really have this attitude, like you've also said, towards life and towards people and having this clarity, things get possible. And I just love to have this reconfirmed by your story and what you've just added to that. And Pascal, I'm just thinking, I can imagine that especially with all these big changes that were happening and everything that came with it, were there moments of doubt where you might have, yeah, you've actually just mentioned one where you thought like, okay, there was this thought of maybe mentioning that there is this new concept being started in Milan, and then you've pushed that question back in your head, but then in the end you've brought it and put it on the table. But like this, and maybe also other moments where you felt a bit of doubt, but then still, yeah, you made it through that. Did you have moments like that?
Oh, definitely. So many to recall, but so many moments of doubts, doubting myself, doubting that decision, doubting taking that big step. Is it too big for me? Is it the right time? Is it the right place to do it? And also, you know, sometimes, well, I feel like often we are very much influenced by other people as well. And I do recall, like, bless them, but even my parents, just not in a bad way, but because they're parents, right? And my parents are quite classic, so they couldn't understand why I was going to do that, why I would leave London, where, you know, I had in a way established myself a little bit, because I had been there for 8 years and I had a perfectly good, you know, job with a stable income. So they were just like, why would you leave all that to go to Milan, do something, be completely freelance and do something you've not done before? I mean, as in a full-time job. So of course, like, they're sort of like their questions, they questioned my decision, and that fed into my doubts, because I thought, oh my God, what if they're right, you know? But almost every time actually I had that doubt, right after I was just like, I'll make it work. I can't explain why, but I had that very, very deep feeling that I'll make it work no matter what. It won't be easy probably, but it's not impossible. That's also something I really, really deeply believe in. Like, nothing is easy, but nothing is impossible. So you can make it work. And that was really how I tried to shut down in my head all the many, many voices, external or internal, that were telling me, is it a very good decision? But I deep down, I always knew it was like a tough decision to make, like on many in many ways, but I knew it was the right one. I really did.
It's like a deep inside trust that was leading and guiding you. But I was just, when that's at least how it sounded, what you were just sharing. And just thinking about myself, I also, like, many times I was actually just, yeah, changing a direction, or, like, for example, I was working in the television industry and was working as a project lead there, and from one to the other, it was not that spontaneously, but I realized that this wasn't it, and I wanted to, yeah, to study, go back to university. But to do that, I first needed to go back to do my university entry diploma. So that was like a huge cut, coming from a management position, so to say, with a lot of money. Oh, wow. And deciding to, like, going back to school and here also my parents, at least part of my family, was saying that, and also friends could not understand that because it was a secure job. I've never done that. I mean, I was the first one in my family to study. And there were so many reactions to that as well. And even later when I was working for an international telco company and then deciding to also change again and going to work for an NGO, which I've also never done before, I also remember all these voices in my head sometimes, but also from people around me. And now you've just shared how you handled that. But maybe there's also, like, if you would imagine someone else being in that situation now, being told that this might not be the right thing, or this might not work out and there's no way back, and all these things that I'm sure that you've heard and I've heard them many times. What would you answer someone who would be approaching you with your experiences now? What is something that you would share?
I think it's good to get people, it's always good to be open to people's advice and perspective on things, because sometimes when you're caught up into something that, you know, that's very personal to you, you don't, sometimes there are things that you miss because you don't have that step back to look at the whole picture sometimes. So I say it's always important to take in as many advice and opinion as you can, but at the end of the day, take everything with a grain of salt. Like, take everything being like, okay, but what do I really feel like? So yeah, I know it sounds like it can sound very obscure to just say, oh, because when you know, you know, but it's actually that. And for me, it was like that. I had so many people telling me, mind you, I had also, like, I'm thinking about my brother, like, supporting me from like day one, being like, oh yeah, just do it. Yeah, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Of course you'll make it work, you know? But I don't know. I had through the whole thing, I still had that inner peace, that inner conviction that I was on the right path for me. Because that's something that's very important. People will tell you, like, sometimes what to do, or you know, you should do that before, you're not ready for that yet. But you know when you are. You know when you are. You know when you want to take that step, when you're ready to take that step. And even if you take that step and turns out you were not really ready, it's just a step back, because on the way you'll figure out what will take you to that vision of yours. So, you know, there's never, I had some twists and turns as well. I had some, like, detours before. But at the end of the day, when you know, when you feel, I guess, like, when you feel aligned, and let's go back to that clarity thing, when you have that clarity, that project, that vision, that dream, that objective, whatever you want to call it, when you have that clear in your mind, yeah, just listen to the other voices in your head or else, but just do you go for it.
Yeah, and it's very important what you've just said, because sometimes these reactions and yeah, sometimes not very motivating sentences and reactions of people around us, that tells so much more about these people and their path rather than it does about us, right? So it's really important to stay close to yourself.
True.
And to just realize, like, that's actually something I really do. And now, of course, I've also gained a lot of experiences. And as a coach, I'm looking at things even more different now. But really, like, taking that step back and thinking, like, huh, that's how he's seeing it. Or that's how she looks at that. That's very interesting. But that's not you. And that's not your issue or a worry that you might have. But just keeping that distance, taking that step back and being curious sometimes. And also, yeah, just like having this big aha in your head. That's them. And that's, I think, is something that we should always bear in mind when taking big decisions that are so important for us. And I mean, especially you who had a dream. I mean, you've mentioned in the beginning that you were actually living your dream by the profession and the job that you've been doing for a long time. And then there was another dream that you were following, and yeah, that even brought you to a different country again. And I was just wondering, in regards to that cultural change, what was the biggest challenge for you then coming again to another country and settling there, in addition to this new field that you were focusing on? What would you say was your biggest challenge moving to Milan?
I think it was the language, because I have to say, in total honesty, I did understand a bit of Italian when I moved to Milan, because I think simply because of French, that, you know, it's still like, you know, quite not completely transparent, but quite similar. And also probably being from Corsica, you know, we do speak French in Corsica, but there's also like a local, like a Corsican dialect that sounds very much like a cross between Italian and and French. So I think I had it in my ear, you know, so to speak. So when I moved, I did understand a bit, but I did not speak it. It was, and you know, like, you know what comes with moving to a different country? You just, I felt so, I felt a bit ashamed. I didn't want to speak. I didn't want to, because I didn't want to make mistakes, which is silly because, you know, you have to make mistakes to learn. But so it was really, that was a challenge. The language was really a challenge. But yet I moved and I felt very welcomed in a very broad sense of the word. And I felt like it was like a bit of a coming home, you know. I just felt home, like quite almost instantly moving to Milan. So everything was like made easy for me. Like maybe that would say the challenge was the language, because as soon as I started to work at the, not so much at the Bulgari, because being an international hotel, most of the clients are international guests, and you know, I could teach in English, obviously, which was like easier for me. But then when I started to teach in other studios and in other like little places, it was in Italian, so I had to dive right in and just do it.
So, and this just do it mentality, probably helped you a lot, I can imagine. And now looking at all these different experiences and also the way you made it through this, big decisions and big changes, how do you define success?
Oh, that's an amazing question. That is a tricky question. Do you know what? I think it's subjective, because my definition of success is maybe not yours, you know, and I think that's very important for me, and I think that's what we should all keep in mind, because sometimes we tend maybe to associate success to money, I don't know, a big car, a big house, even some like social norms such as you're 30, you need to be married and having kids on the way. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's of sort course. Of like a successful life. But I think success is so subjective. Maybe it is this for you. And if it's this for you, then it's perfectly fine, you know, because everybody has their own like concept, and you need to live up to your dream and your definition of it. But for me, I don't know. I think I associate more, how can I define it? I think I associate success with this feeling of being fulfilled and being on the right path, being aligned, being of like waking up every day. You know, there are challenging days all the way, all the time, and that's normal. That's what life is made of. But being like, still, I'm exactly where I need to be, doing what I'm supposed to do. And for me, as long as those questions are answered like that, I consider it a success. And there's always room for improvement and for adjusting to little twists on the way that like life throws at you. But I think that's my definition of success. Am I fulfilled in what I'm doing? That inner voice, that inner like conviction of okay, I'm doing the right thing, and I'm on the right path.
Yeah, thank you very much for sharing your definition. And what you've said initially is super important, that we should all be aware of the fact that there is not just one path and there is not just one definition of success. And it's so important to reflect on your own definition of that, because sometimes we have in our head that a steep career is what defines success, and then we are following on to that without really questioning if this is really us and if this is really our path. And I am working with so many clients, and like through working on their inner values, or reflecting basically on their inner values and helping them to identify them, there's so many aha moments, so many there's so much clarity and so much pressure that they feel is getting off their shoulders in the moment where they realize where they actually get their source of fulfillment from. I mean, for some, it might be like money and a big car and a big house, but maybe you actually just thought that's what it should be next, like the next career step and so on. And it, it changes the perspective of, on so many things. So it's definitely worth on asking yourself. I mean, I'm not talking to you now, Pascal. I'm just talking to everyone who's listening. How would you actually define success for yourself? And I think it's definitely worth a couple of minutes, or even a bit more time to define that for yourself. And Pascal, looking back, what advice would you give your younger self and why?
It sort of ties in with that previous question for me, is that do you be true to yourself? So first there's inner work, because what is it to be true to yourself? What does that mean? But then once you figure that out, just do you. And don't, I would definitely say to my younger self something which sort of like stopped me or slowed me down rather when I was younger, is don't pay too much attention to what other people think and what they have to say about what you do, and also don't be scared of failure, because as much as like success, everybody has their own definition of success, I think everybody, failure is also very subjective. What is a huge failure for you might for me be, oh, it's just a little bump on the road. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And vice versa. So I think don't be what I've been sort of like guilty in a way of when I was younger. And I still do sometimes, being scared of failure. But when you realize that failure can be actually quite constructive and productive and sometimes necessary to highlight what's more important, then I feel like I think that's definitely what I would tell my younger self. That would have avoided me a lot of headaches.
So Pascal, we've heard a lot about your path, and I'm very impressed, I have to admit. And yeah, maybe I would like to close with a question. What surprised you the most on that path?
What surprised me the most on that path, and that continues every day to surprise me, is that very thing we talked about before, and that you brought up very rightly so before, is that when you are ready and when you do feel you're on the path, everything just flows in, I think. I really, really, really believe in that. And I've been also, when I was younger, guilty of, you know, being too greedy, in the sense that, oh my God, I had a project, I had an idea, and I was doing everything I could to work towards it. But sometimes it's a fine line between, you know, pushing, like working for it, or forcing it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, it's a fine line that one should find between, okay, there's nothing like being ready and putting in the work day after day, year after year, to just be ready and then be open. And then when you're ready, it will just, everything else will align, rather than forcing it and being too pushy, you know?
What an amazing closing for a really, really great interview. I've enjoyed every moment of it. Thank you so much also for being open about everything that you've shared with us. And yeah, keep that amazing spirit alive, Pascal. I hope that this was not the last time I was able to speak to you, and wish you all the best for everything that comes up next.
Thank you so much, Gina. It was my great, great pleasure to be part of the podcast series, and very flattered to have been invited. And it was lovely to chat with you.
Same here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ciao. Did you enjoy this episode and know someone for whom the podcast with its topics and impulses might be helpful? I would be more than happy if you would recommend the Make It Your Path podcast to anyone who lies at your heart in regards to their individual path. Thanks in advance, and happy to have you here with me next week.